Okay, being that the last couple of days we were learning in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch the laws of Tzedakah and Ma'aser Kesafim, I got curious and I pulled out a sefer that was published 13 years ago by Rabbi Avraham Chaim Feuer by Art Scroll, the Tzedakah Treasury. This sefer, it was a very popular sefer at the time, it still is. It's a fantastic sefer, jam-packed with everything and anything you can possibly need to know about the laws and in Yoni Halacha and Yoni Agada relating to Tzedakah. Yes, Rabbi Gifta son-in-law. And it's really a fantastic sefer. So I want to, just for today, to run through a few things. I wasn't able to prepare very much, but just to run through a few ideas which captured my attention in running through the sefer. First idea is a very interesting idea. He develops this in his overview. Pasuk, a famous pasuk, Vayilbash Tzedakah Kashiryon, that he wore tzedakah, refers to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem wore tzedakah like a coat of mail, armor. Like a soldier. Soldier has wears armor. Armor is made from little pieces of metal. They all interlock, and there's mobility because they're small little pieces, but yet it's very strong. This pasuk is in reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's applied, the Chazal used this to describe the mitzvah of tzedakah, and he takes this, he bases really this upon on a maral of Michal. He has a maral here, which tells us that the maral he cites is, he doesn't give a source for the maral. He just says the Maral observes that the Talmud's comparison of charity to a coat of mail or to a garment implies that charity is different from all other commandments. He does not quite a source. And what he goes on to say, the name of the Maral is that the mitzvah of tzedakah is a very different mitzvah than all of the other mitzvahs of the Torah. All other mitzvahs of the Torah, you do a mitzvah, you do the same mitzvah 100 times. Put on tefillin today, put on tefillin yesterday, you put on tefillin tomorrow. It's 3 separate mitzvahs. One mitzvah has nothing to do with the other. I did a mitzvah today, did a mitzvah yesterday, it's the same mitzvah. In Shemayim, they'll give you credit. 3 different actions with 3 different sets of reward. Tzedakah, based upon this pasuk, the Maral says, it's one big mitzvah. When a person comes at Achameya Veshem to Shemayim, Maral says they don't look how many times did you give tzedakah? Did you put on, how many times did you put on tefillin in your lifetime? Whatever it is, there's a number, okay? They don't look at how many times in your life did you give tzedakah. They look at tzedakah, did you do tzedakah, yes or no? It's a one mitzvah. And then they look at the quality, they look at all the various different actions which contributed into this one act of tzedakah. Because the pasuk says that tzedakah, all of your acts of tzedakah are all merged together into forming one garment. One garment made from little bits and pieces. Just like armor is multiple small pieces of strong material, all brought together in some type of net. This is the mitzvah of tzedakah. You have to look at tzedakah. When you give tzedakah, I'm now adding another piece to my armor, to the levush, the garment which will be used to dress the neshama in the olam ha'emes. This little shocking statement to say that the mitzvah of tzedakah should be viewed in this manner, relative, different than all the others. But that's what he says. And in fact, he says this. This is the vart which he uses to lead off his entire sefer. Whole different way of looking.
If
yeah.
You give $10 one time and you give $1 $10, it's equal basically.
So we discussed that. So that's a very good point. We discussed that yesterday in the halacha section. That's a very big dispute. The Rambam very clearly says it's better to give tzedakah $1 10 times than to give one time $10. The Rambam makes that statement. Giving tzedakah multiple times, every time you give tzedakah, it has an impact on your neshama.
You're saying that it's a sum total.
Well, no, this fits good with the Rambam, that when you're wearing a garment, you have a little teeny piece. The more little pieces you have, the more mobility you have. If you have a piece of armor, different types of armor, some pieces of armor, they only have 10 pieces, right? I'm sure you've seen those types of armor, right? They have a piece here, a piece there, like a football player, right? Football player, he has the shoulder pad over here. How many pieces go into the pads that protect a football player? 15, 20 pieces the most?
Doesn't protect his head.
Okay, now let's talk about his body.
Who cares about his head?
How many pieces does he have? Let's say he has 15 pieces. Each piece is a big chunk. A big piece covers the shoulder. It's a big chunk. Okay, that means each chunk is like $1 million. He gave $1 million 20 times in his lifetime. But his mobility is limited. You don't want to walk around like a football player the whole day. Maybe when you're playing football, you'll walk around. It's macho to walk around like that, with your shoulders up and stiff. But when you go home, you don't want to wear that stuff. You want to wear something...
So you married this.
Strike that from the record. And they want to know why women don't come to the shir. When you go home, you want something more comfortable. The smaller the piece is, the more comfortable it is. So when you take this pasuk, Vayalbesh Tzedakah Kashir Yon, it makes logical sense. If you're going to give in your lifetime, every year I'm going to give a donation of $1 million. Wonderful. So you'll have a lavush, a garment in the Olam HaEmes made from large pieces of material, very beautiful, significant, but it's stiff. You're a stiff person. If you give tzedakah, you don't give every time $1 million, you give a dollar here, a dollar there. You give many small donations, according to the Rambam. Every time you give a donation, that changes your personality, that changes your character. You're a giver. That loosens you up. Your lavush, the garments you wear, are not that stiff chunks of material guarding your body. They're little teeny pieces of material which are all intertwined, which give you a certain feeling, comfortable feeling, mobility, which only comes from the small pieces. So that's the idea that Rabbi Fourier is expressing. He's really saying this in the name of the Maral, a whole different way of looking at stuck. You're looking at stuck, you're thinking about making yourself a garment in the Olam HaEmes. Okay, let me just jump around. I wrote a lot of different things. He has a very nice thing from Rav Pam. Someone came to Rav Pam, and this is really true. This is the Chochmah, the Galus of Rav Pam. And it's a double push, but the Pichas of Rav Pam. A person came to Rav Pam and said, what should I give to stuck? And you see today there are so many different types of specialties. Over the newspaper, there's a stalker. Anything you can possibly think about. And then, of course, there are the major institutions. You give to the yeshivas and so on and so forth. A person, he gives to his alma mater. He gives to pay tuitions. And then he's blessed. And he has extra money and he wants to give money. Should he give it to this speaker cholim? Should he give it to this organization that specializes in this thing? Where do you give it to? So he came to Rav Pam and he said, I have been blessed. Rav Pam says to him, give it to something that grabs your heart. Every single person is different. Every single person, their neshama comes from a different place in Shemayim, a different part of the Kisei HaKavod, whatever it is. You should give tzedakah to the organization, to the cause that means something to you, that captures you, even though to your neighbor it's ridiculous. Why in the world are you giving $1 million to this? It's a good cause. We're not talking about giving it to wasting your money. But why give it to this cause over this cause? It just captures my heart. You see, that's something for us to learn, not to criticize other people. Many times you look at they're giving so much money to this organization. Aren't there better things to give the money to? The answer is, it depends for who. If it means something to you, that is a sign that that's really where you should give your money, and you should never criticize a person for giving money to these type of specialties, of course, that's after everything is said and done, when the basic needs of what people really need have been taken care of. Okay, then there's just an interesting idea, because I know of the Mishpacha, the Kapichnitz Rebbe. The Kapichnitz is a very interesting Maisa. He met the Kleis after the World War II, after the Holocaust, they met here in America. The Kapichnitz Rebbe with the Kleisenberg Rebbe, two very holy rebbes, and the Kleisenberg Rebbe asked the Kapichnitz Rebbe, in what zechus did you survive the war? What zechus? And he said, you know what the zechus is? This is a very interesting story. He was his minog. He never went to sleep if he had a penny in his hand. The Kapichnitz Rebbe, every single day he was his minog, gave away all his money. When the day was over, I don't know how he lived. That's why he was the Rebbe. He was the Rebbe. Gave way. when it came the very critical time of the war, some of his Hasidic Hatim said, Rebbe, we had a lot of trouble, and we do not know if we're going to survive. We want to give you, they gave him a very large amount of money to use, that he should hold on to save himself when the time will come. And the Kapitchin Sereb, his whole life, he wasn't a young man at that point in time, said, it was my minig, I never went to sleep at night if I had in my possession even a penny. Should I change now? Someone just gave me $1 million. They gave me $1 million. And I should hold on to it because I'm going to need, who knows what's going to happen in the war, where I'm going to go, I'm the only money to survive. And he decided now is not the time to change his minog. And he gave away all the money, bo by yom on that day. And he says he felt what? Exactly. I don't know. He gave it to do the. I don't know the details. But he told the Kloisenberger Rebbe, these are big people, that it was in that suchus. He said he had that. He actually writes. He says I had that dilemma that I was given the money in order to survive, and that probably I would need the money to bribe people here and there. But he felt that if I did survive, giving the money away, bo by yom, was in that zuchus that I survived the war. That's an very interesting insight why he survived, why he claimed he survived. Someone once came to the Satmar Rav. He said to the Satmar Rav, you know, the collectors, they come around the community, they waste everyone's time, no one's interested in giving them, they're not there. Why don't we make a takana where we'll figure out how much the average person gives a collector through the course of a year? How many times does someone knock on your door throughout the year? 100 times? How much do you give him each time? You give him $1? It's $100. So it will tax everyone in the community. The Satmar, they can do this. They're in control of their community. Will tax every single member of the community to give $100, and will make a rule, all no collectors are not allowed to go around. All collectors come to the office and we'll make a system and we'll distribute that. We'll save everyone's time. We'll save the time of the collectors and we'll save the time of the Baal HaBatin. So the first thing the Satmar Rav said, I want to know who came up with this idea. I want to know the person who came up with this idea. So the Hasidim were embarrassed to tell him. So he said, I know why you're embarrassed to tell him, because this guy is not just a nice guy. This guy doesn't have a good reputation in the community. So they said to him, you're right. How did you know? Such an idea would only come from a stingy miser. He says, when the collectors walk into your home, they bring with them into your home bracha. Don't underestimate when someone knocks on your door to collect a dollar. They humiliate themselves to collect a cost, whatever the cost is, they come into your door. When they come into your home, they're bringing into your home incredible bracha. And to have such an idea, to tell the collectors not to waste their time coming into your home to collect a few dollars, you're denying from Klal Yisrael this bracha that the collectors bring into your home. So don't underestimate what they're doing. We think that when they come into our home, that it's such a burden. You should be very careful. Of course, there are a lot of fakers out there. Don't get me wrong. There are a lot of fakers and a lot of people that need help. There are a lot of legitimate people who unfortunately have been humiliated to this point where they have no choice but to go from door to door. And at least you can't give them very much, at least not to abuse them. They may be doing us the chesed. We learned in the Shukis Shulchan Aruch that if you don't allow the collector to come into your home, then Hashem will cause that the doctor will have to come into your home. That was the nusach of the Gemara, which was quoted by the Kitz Shulchan Aruch. It's decreed that someone's going to be making a house call. Who do you want to make the house call? The collector or the doctor? Better let the collector make the house call than have a doctor or a member of Hatzalah make the call. So you don't know, it shouldn't take it lightly. Yeah.
He had a policy that Rabbi Yoilish,
yeah,
everyone who was Satmar had to spend 1 or 2 weeks a year as collecting.
As a collecting, really.
And they asked him why. He said because
you know what it feels like.
When you collect,
you know what it feels like. It's very powerful. When I was in high school, Chaim Siegel, he was very machbid. I don't know if they do it today because today it's a different environment. He was very machbid. Every boy in the Masifta had to go collecting. To go collecting, like on, like not just...
Or
I don't know, Purim time, they are different kufas of how they would advise the boys to go collecting. Over the years, a lot of things changed. People getting drunk, there were a lot of problems. But he was very makbid. And he would even embarrass that he would come into the classroom, he went through the class list, he came into the classroom, and he wanted to know how much each boy, in front of the entire class, went through the whole list, how much did you collect? And it was very obvious, after being there for 4 years, the reason why he did this was not because they wanted the money. They didn't even go to the yeshiva, they went to Yad La'achim. In those days, it went for a Kiev organization, which is not even in America, which was totally relevant to the people, to the people here in America. But it was very clear he did this to train the boys. You have to know what it's like to raise money, to go collecting. It's a humiliating experience, and you have to know what it's like, either for yourself or to appreciate what other people do for you when they go and they raise money for the different things which have value in your life. And it was embarrassing. He used to come to the classroom, and if you did not raise a significant amount of money by going schnorring, where do you get the money from? You have to ask your relatives, you ask your friends. It was, you were humiliated. I only raised $54. I wasn't able to raise, some guys in the class, they could raise $200, $300. And who are you raising from? You're not, these are from strangers or from, and there was definitely something to it, exactly what you said. Okay, halacha, just some halacha. How much money halacha l'maisa? We learned about the inyan of maisa k'safin. Okay, maisa k'safin is 10%, 20%, a third. Forget about maisa. What about giving? There's a mitzvah of giving tzedakah. How much is the minimum amount of giving tzedakah? So it's a shulchan aruch. A third of a shekel. You must give annually a third of a shekel to the mekayim the mitzvah of tzedakah. How much is the third of a shekel? A shekel is 768 prutos. What is a third of 768? 256 prutos. How much is a pruta? Halacha l'maisa, it's between I would imagine $5 and $10. In 1990, it was $4. It came out to about $4. I guess there was inflation, different opinions. It's about between $5 and $10 is the minimum amount a person must give a year to be mekayim the bare minimum of the law of tzedakah. Very interesting halachic shaila. This is very common. You go to a Chinese auction. Chinese auction, are you allowed to use your Meister money for a Chinese auction? Very wonderful organization, whether it's yeshiva, whether it's some stock organization, and you have a Chinese auction, so the chances are you're going to lose. Some people have no ma'asel, no matter how many raffles you try. So it's tzedakah. No, maybe the 1% chance I'll win something, who knows? Okay. By the way, a lot of scams that go on with Chinese auction, but that's not for now. But personal experience. I know this with my cousin. He was in a raffle. He won a Sefer Torah.
Wow.
A Sefer Torah. And they basically said to him, it's stalker money. Don't take it. Don't take it. That's not a scandal? That's not a scandal to say don't take it? And then, okay, you'll take it. You'll take it, but we're only giving you cash, you have to buy from this certain sofa. No, with that kind of money, I can go to this sofa, I can get 10 times better. Okay, so, that's how it is. Another problem is they put so much pressure on the vendors, on the people who supply the goods, to give for free, and there's all this misunderstanding. They just put their names down in catalogs. Okay, I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about the Shiloh. Here's the Shiloh. Let's say you have a very honest owner. Today, you can't get away with it.
It's a subcontract.
Right, they don't do it themselves. Right. But the truth is, you can't get away with it, because maybe you do it once in a while, you can get away with some hanky-panky, but if you're doing these things every single year, you got to be on the books, because you're not going to be able to survive. Just to get a bad reputation, to finish, you'll shoot yourself in the foot if you play games. But the point is, here's the story. You give money, you give your Meister money to a Chinese auction. Gambling, right? The casinos upstate. You give away all your Meister money. And guess what? You win.
Yeah.
You win. You win big. You win something really big. So Shaila is, were you allowed to do it to begin with? Are you allowed to use your Meister money for a Chinese auction? And if you do win, do you have to give Meister from on your win? Or even worse, This is the biggest chiddush. He brings this down. He brings down from Paiskim. He says, according to some opinions, you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to use mice and money for auctions, because that's not the way you deal with mice and money. You have to use private money. And if you win what you own, what you win becomes the property of the tzedakah. No, the whole winnings, not just 10% of the winnings. Because if you use miser money, so you're gambling with miser money. So if you win, let's say, a package...
You should have to pay a chaimish also, because it's mild advantage.
Isn't there an idea that the more you give to tzedakah, the more you're going to get back?
The more you give to tzedakah, and not now. No. That's Hashem's doing.
Somebody's going to... You're not going to lose money.
In the future, that's Hashem's cheshbon in business. But getting back from the
God's giving you the
okay. This is a very raffles is something which is a new thing today. Relatively speaking, it's a big craze today. It's very successful. They say they raise. I heard from they raise an incredible amount of money. You have an organization who knows how to do a Chinese auction. It's the best possible fundraising event for an institution. They make a killing on the raffles, the organization. They do it right, but the question is: are you allowed to use your miser money? It's a very big dilemma in halacha, and the answers are across the spectrum. Some say lechatchila yes, some say lechatchila no, some say b'diavad yes. If you win, do you have to get miser from what you've won? Some say yes, some say no, and some are so machmir. If you win, you have to redeem the entire thing. It's not even yours. You have to give the whole thing back to tzedakah. You have no right to accept it because you've used miser money. You have to, if you want to use all the money that you would not have ordinarily spent, then you can take the product. You can take what you won. But to use miser shady money and you win, the product has to go back to...
No one will go to...
No, so you don't use miser shady money. The point is, just don't use miser shady money.
Rabbi, how about the other way around?
Yeah.
Organization has a raffle,
and yeah,
a big prize. And
yeah,
they didn't raise enough money to give.
That's their problem. That's their loss. That's their problem. That's their loss. That's not your responsibility. If an organization does a fundraising event and they incur a loss, so they send you a bill in the mail. They invite you to a dinner, and you pay for your dinner, and they say, you know what, we made a dinner for the organization, and the dinner cost us $20,000, and we only brought in $15,000. So we're sending everyone a bill to make up the loss. That's not my problem. That's your problem. Get a better fundraiser.
We had a raffle for a Sefer Torah. We didn't raise enough money. Right?
So you got a problem.
So the Devarim was left out.
Okay. The Chavetz, yeah.
They left out the Devarim.
Can't win them all.
Why not?
You can't win them all. You left out the Devarim. You left out the
I don't know. They do. Everyone does it.
They all play people.
They used to play, yeah. And now they have Chinese auctions. China's even worse. There are people that actually are addicted. There are people, there are stories in the newspaper, there are people who are addicted to the Chinese auctions and they spend all their money.
They used to be so.
Yeah?
It's happened. You notice when the Chinese auction started, everyone started because there were people went around promoting, use my services, I do, I'll arrange.
Right. Someone is successful. Someone has a niche. That's how it is. There's a guy that the person has a business. He makes Aroni Kodesh for shuls. He want to make an Aroni Kodesh in the shul. Pretty much, he's the only something like nice. He's the only one to do it. And what does he do?
The only guy who makes the Atzik Chaim for the specific term.
They have a niche. It's their niche. They have a market. They have a monopoly. And they're who? Okay. Other short things. This is caught my attention. Rav Chavetz Chaim says that he always was amazed that in Radin, he lived in Radin, that people in Radin used to go fundraising in Warsaw. They would travel all the way to Warsaw to do fundraising, and people in Warsaw would come collecting in Radin. So he would say, why don't we just support the people, the collectors in Radin should be supported by the people in Radin, and the people in Warsaw should be supported. He says, that's the nature of that's the Satan. That's really what it should be. The satan, but the satan is mebalbel. It's such a chashuv mitzvah. We live in such an upside down world where unfortunately the people in Radin have to go to Warsaw, the people in Warsaw have to go to Radin, and they'll be better off, they'll just stay home and they'll be supported by themselves. And there's one very interesting halacha I was not aware of. If a person is very poor, where he does not need to give ma'aseh, I have situations, halpi halacha, where you learn many times, most poskim paskin, that ma'aseh k'sam is manazeh is only a minhag. It's not a deraisa, it's not a derabanan, it's only a minhag, for there are many reasons for kulis. Let's say a person is at poverty level, below poverty level, he's really in trouble, and he's not mechuyev to give ma'aser. Everything that he earns, whatever he earns, he can keep for himself, whatever he gets. There is such a halacha, it's fascinating halacha, that you should still separate ma'aser and then keep it for yourself. There are two dinim in ma'aser money, in 10-10. There's a din in ma'aser to give, you should give the money, but there's also an aspect of separating. And even if you are in a situation where you don't have the ability to give because you need the money for yourself, it's brought down by virtually all the poskim, you should still separate. A person makes $100 a month. I'm just giving a crazy example. $100 a month. And he needs it for himself. He should still separate $10 and then take the $10 for himself. The act of separating the money into a different fund also achieves a purpose. Interesting concept.
He's actually giving stuff to himself.
Well, there's no such thing as giving stuff to yourself. That's the point. You're not giving it to yourself. There's no such thing. But the act of separating the money also has an impact on a person's neshama. What is brought down is if you can do this, it's not so simple to do this, you have to trust someone, is a person, Rahman al-Aslan, who's destitute, and he takes everything for himself, he should find another person who's destitute. If you can switch. Or let's say you have Rahman al-Aslan family members, or all the same situations, so then it's in private, it's among themselves, they're Mekayim the mitzvah. By each one giving to the other. That's also an idea. Okay, one of the very quick thing, Parashas Re'eh, Aser, is right, is juxtaposed to Shemitah. If you pay attention, Sukkis, the Kriya for Shmini Atzeres, you begin with Aser to Aser, and right after Aser to Aser is the Parasha of 7 years, you 6 years, you plan the 7th year of Shemitah. Why is it juxtaposed? What's the smichus? And Farshim says to teach you that the purpose of tzedakah is to remind the person ki li kol haaretz. That just like when it comes to Shemitah, every 7th year you have to relinquish your property. It's hefker. It's not your property. You're just a guest here in Hashem's world. Every 7th year, the land is hefker. Don't touch the earth. Let the anim come and do whatever they want. It's not your... The mitzvah of tzedakah is the hakdama to the parsha of Shemitah. When you give tzedakah, it is a painful reminder, it's not my money. The money was just given to me as a deposit, was just given to me for safeguarding, to direct to the right sources, but it's the ultimate goal to recognize giving tzedakah is kili kol haaretz. All right, there are a few more things, but it's time for mincha, so we'll stop.